We're doing the Chafetz Chaim on page Lamed Daled. V'lifamim over od al isur chanupah. And a person can also transgress the prohibition of sekafensi. That's what in slang they call it kissing up. When a person says things and they're insincere, flattery. Shehu la'arbe geonim. Many of the geonim hold that it is a lav gamur, an actual prohibition. V'ulav de lo tachnifut aretz. The Torah says, don't destroy the land with flattery, with sycophancy. Kegoni mitkaven b'sipuro ha'lashon ha'rav ha'achilut kedei lachnif la'shomea. Sometimes a person's intention when he says to his lashon hara is to sweet talk, to flatter or to sweeten up the person who hears the lashon hara. Shu yodeh sheyesh lo oto ploni sina mikvar. He knows that the person has enmity for the other person. He knows that the two parties are at odds with one another, and he figures, by my telling him lashon hara, I'm showing him I'm on his side, I'm sharing with him bad information about the other fellow. And through this, he figures I'll find favor in his eyes. So that's a prohibition of chanifa, chanufa, vo'avon plili. And that's a clear transgression. It's not only that he doesn't rebuke the guy to tell him, he should rebuke him and tell him, you guys shouldn't hate one another, you're not supposed to hate a fellow Jew. He does the opposite. He fuels the flame by telling him some more bad news about the other guy. And by telling over the lashon hara, so the guy will repeat his foolishness again and again, or create new arguments between them. He'll be such a destructive thing. Hashem Yishmerenu. God forbid, we shouldn't find ourselves there. I want you to know, says the Chafetz Chaim, that this is very common. Here's how it goes. And this is one of those lines, like we said last week, where the Chafetz Chaim shows us that he knows the nature of human beings so well. You wonder, how did he know this? He was in Beis Medrash, such a tzaddik, how did he know? So, let's say Jack walks into the room and says, you know, I can't stand Bob. You know how stupid Bob is? So, Shmuley is sitting here listening to Jack berate Bob, and he knows it's not true, Bob isn't so stupid. But instead of Shmuley saying, hey, you know, Bob's not so bad, you shouldn't talk about him that way, what does he do? He nods his head. He gives them a feeling like, yeah, you're right. And he even smooths out the conversation. Jack walks in and says, Bob is so frustrating. I tried talking to him, the guy's a dunce. And what does Shmuley do? He says, I know just what you mean. He adds a word or two, he adds a comment, something to make the conversation flow. Because very often, Jack that's doing the complaining, he could be a boss, he could be a landlord, someone of importance. So if your landlord walks in and complains about another tenant, you feel like you have to say something positive. Being that you get favors from him, or maybe a person's scared. If he doesn't agree with him, if he doesn't toe the line, then he might fall in bad footing with the guy. So that's why the Yetzer Hara gets a person under such circumstances to show agreement. But I want you to know, brother, says the Chafetz Chaim, you see? Chafetz Chaim also called us brothers, yeah? That this is actually the prohibition of sycophancy. Afilu im rak yosif ezeh tevot. Even if you just add a word or two here or there. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right? You just add a comment. If you look down at the expansion down below called the Ber Maim Chaim, he expands on it. And about things like this, that's what King Solomon said, stick a knife in it. King Solomon says, stick a knife in your windpipe. Stick a knife in your throat. If only you have a soul, if only you're a worthwhile person, you'll know how to be quiet. A person has to be willing to face the danger. Yeah, it could be the guy won't like me so much. Could be the guy will be upset at me, but I can't allow myself to transgress this way. Guys, this happens in life. Could be the boss complaining about a coworker. Could be your landlord complaining about another tenant. It could be your mother-in-law complaining about your wife. It can be many scenarios where it's very tempting to take the side of the complainer. And based on the Torah's principles, a person has to at least be strong enough not to support the negative comments that are made. He can't even make a move that shows that you agree. And you can't even nod your head. About this, our sages say in Tractate Eduyot, Mutav Shikra Adam Shote Kol Yamav, a person should prefer to be viewed as foolish throughout his days rather than have a minute of being viewed as a sinner by his creator. That's Akavya ben Mahalalel said that line, right? They told him, Akavya ben Mahalalel. Akavya argued with the rabbis on 3 points. They told him, give in on those three and we'll appoint you the leader of Israel. And he says, I'd rather you guys think I was foolish my whole life than have a split second where God thinks I'm a sinner. Because I know that my tradition is right, so I'm not giving in on my tradition. You won't appoint me the leader of Israel? Well, I can't give in. I have the tradition. I know that I'm right. And if I know that's my tradition, so then even though you all think I'm stupid, because I could be the greatest leader, I could be the Nasi, I'm not giving in. I know that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want me to. So even if a person says, I know he won't listen to me if I rebuke him, if I tell him, you know, you shouldn't talk that way about him, he won't listen to me. Because otherwise, for sure, you should tell him. You know, you shouldn't talk that way about him. As we will explain later on. So even if you know he won't listen to your rebuke, you should at least not agree or indicate any movement that says, yeah, you're right. We have to contain ourselves. It's difficult, but that's the mitzvah. Yes?
Okay, so you shouldn't add any kind of support, movement, anything, words that might show any kind of support, right? What this guy is saying, what this guy is saying. But should you keep silent? Should you rebuke him?
We'll get there.
And then the other question is, you once mentioned, I think, give like the example, let's say we have a ball game or something, like we're playing some kind of sport, and then the guy is picking the teams, there's someone who's not good, and he says, why did you pick him? He's not very good. Meaning, the person put himself in a situation where he's willing to maybe let someone say something, because he's in a situation where there's a matara, there's a goal in the sport, and then the guy's not good, and he decided to play, and he's willing to hear that he's not good. Did I misunderstood?
So what's the question?
The question is, so you're a co-worker, a boss and co-worker. The guy's not doing a good job, and he's in a company. He's willing to accept the fact that he's not doing a good job. And if someone says that he's not doing a good job, it depends how, and in what context, but the fact that he's part of the company, maybe he accepts the rules, kind of, you have to fulfill your word. If you don't, then you kind of,
The fact that practically, let's say the boss will discuss with his CEO, the work that someone's doing, because that's what we call litoelet, that's necessary, does not include idle conversation or discussing it in front of other people. And we will see that there's a fine line between when you're allowed to say it and when you're not allowed to say it. And not in every instance are you allowed to point out what someone's doing wrong. We will see when it's considered toilet, when it's considered necessary, and when it's not. And even when it's considered necessary, we will see the guidelines the Chafetz Chaim gives us in how careful we have to be that everything we say should be accurate, that we shouldn't exaggerate, we shouldn't invest in effort to impress upon the other person the severity of what's going on, which is a weakness we very often fall into. So we have to be careful to say the truth accurately. We have to be careful in what setting we say it. We have to be careful that we don't say it out of a personal bias. We have to be careful that our information is factual. There are many aspects to the care we have to take, even when it's permissible, as you're saying. There are times where it would be permissible to speak badly about someone, but there are many, many, many details which we will learn as we proceed. When we speak about a ball game, so I could tell you kids that I know, that when they reached the 7th grade, the 8th grade, when they became close to the age of bar mitzvah, they already refused to have conversation about which players they don't want on their team. I can tell you kids in regular elementary schools who knew, who understood already at the age of 12 and 13, how sensitive they have to be, that even though when they pick teams, it's pretty obvious who your first pick is and who your second pick is, but they already knew they have to be very careful not to discuss the last pick in a way that would hurt someone's feelings. I think that if 7th and 8th graders can do this, then we can do it too. Yes?
What role or lack of role does Chanukah play with honoring your parents?
I don't think there's a difference in this realm. Chanukah in the realm of flattery, in the realm of supporting something that's wrong is prohibited, even if it's with regards to the parents.
That doesn't contradict like losoter, you know, not to go against or contradict your parents?
It's true that we're responsible not to contradict our parents, but that doesn't mean that we should support something that's wrong. Sometimes a person is responsible to disagree, and sometimes a person is responsible to be silent, depending on the circumstance. You can see an example of that with King Saul and David. King Saul says that David deserves the death penalty, and his son Jonathan, Jonathan, says, why? What did he do wrong? Why should he die? You see that Jonathan is willing to challenge his father. He's not going to sit idly by as his father declares that his nemesis, theoretically, you know, the person who was most threatened by David was Jonathan. And David was taking the throne away from Jonathan. Jonathan was the rightful heir to the throne. And nonetheless, Jonathan stands up for the truth. And he says, Lama Yumad, why should he be killed? What did he do wrong? So we don't always say that a person should be silent. Think about it. King Saul wants to kill David. David's an innocent person. So what would you say? Jonathan, you just sit quiet. It's Kibbutz Aveim. Don't contradict your father. No. Jonathan says, wait, why is this right? So sometimes a child does have a responsibility to stand up. We find that Aaron's children waited and they let Aaron answer Moshe. When Moshe came to them and said, why'd you burn the sacrifice of Rosh Chodesh? So Aaron's children had a good answer, but they felt it would be more respectful to let their father answer. There are times where you could wait and let someone else answer. So,